forgot I moved the chairs over there. So y'all have to excuse me without a tie tonight. It's easier for me to make the transition in baptism. But that song, Count Your Many Blessings, for some reason tonight, that just ministered to my heart. You know, I heard someone say the other day, when you're going through hard times, just focus on God, who He is. Focus on His attributes and His character. And then focus on His promises. You know, and then somehow or another, you know, next thing you knew, you'll be praising and glorifying God, right? And our problem in hard times is that we keep our eyes on ourselves. And that song just ministered to me tonight for some reason. Take your Bibles. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to be in verses 1 through 5 of 2 Corinthians. We're going through Encouragement in Troubling Times, the book of 2 Corinthians. And tonight we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare. And we're going to be talking about biblical spiritual warfare. And so tonight we're going to be looking at chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. You know, before we got saved, there was no struggle in our life with the flesh, in the spirit, because we didn't have the spirit, did we? But when we got saved, the Holy Spirit of God indwelled us, and there's a struggle. It's going to be a struggle we're going to battle the whole life, the struggle between our flesh and our spirit. And there is a war within, if you will. Paul talks about that in his writings. We have two natures. And we have one nature that's pulling us to heaven. We have the other nature that's pulling us to the earthly. And there's a battle. And you're not going to end that battle until you shed this old body. Paul said, the sin that remains in me. And that's why we sin, because we're still in these bodies. And we have three great enemies, you've heard people say, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world system that hates God, hates anything to do with the church or the word of God. They're in a different culture. They're headed in a different way. And when the church rubs the culture of this world, that's when friction happens, right? And if you're going in the same direction as the world, you're going in the wrong direction, right? Whatever view the world holds, we should hold the opposite. And so you have this battle going on in the world system, the flesh, that sin nature, right? And I believe, if you're like me, I don't necessarily have time to worry about the world and the Satan. I know where the world's going, and I know where Satan's going to end up one day. But my battle is with my own flesh many times. Can I get an amen there? All right, some of you are super spiritual and don't agree with that, but there's going to be this battle going on here and in these bodies until we go into the Lord's presence. Well, the Apostle Paul was in a battle with the forces of wickedness, Judaizers and the false pseudo-apostles, that were ever on his heels, accusing him of everything going on. And he was, in this text here, in chapter 10, 1 through 6, the Apostle Paul is gearing up for the battle. And he's letting the Corinthians, regardless of what some people think, Paul here is writing to the Corinthian believers about how to go about in the warfare with the Judaizers, with the false teachers. See? This text is often applied to our own battle, but really Paul is talking about how we war for the souls of men, okay? And it is a war. They were like us at one time. They didn't know Jesus Christ, and Satan wants to keep them lost and keep them blinded. And they have keeping them in bondage what the passage tells us tonight, what's called strongholds and imaginations or speculations, that they have to be torn down for the person to come to Christ. And that's what he's talking about tonight. So in this context, we're going to be talking about three or four ways or different avenues that we need to know about when we're warring for souls. Because often we think, well, we just witness. But it goes deeper than that, folks. There's a spiritual battle for the souls of men. And we need to make sure that we're not fighting on his ground, but on God's ground. And so there are different things I'm going to share with you tonight about this warring for souls. So let's stand in honor of God's word. And let's begin reading in chapter 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence I am base among you, but being absent and being bold toward you. In other words, the Judaizers were accusing Paul of being arrogant and bold and in it for the money. And I beseech you, verse 2, that I may not be bold when I am present with you in confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some. I guess who those some are, right? Which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Father, I pray tonight as we open this text, you open our heart and understand we are in spiritual warfare for the souls of men. And we can't fight on Satan's battlefield. We'll lose every time. So Father, tonight teach us from your word how to be better prayer warriors for the lost. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Number one, if we're going to be warring for the souls of men, Paul says in verse 3 and 4, we must choose the right weapons. We must choose the right weapons. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're spiritual. Look again in verse 3, if you will. For we walk not in the flesh, for we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, in other words, are not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I'll talk more about it in a minute, what these strongholds are that Paul is talking about. The false teachers accused Paul of walking in the flesh morally. He accused him of being greedy and prideful in verse 2. But Paul says in verse 3, he walked in the flesh physically because he was a man, but he did not walk according to the flesh. Okay? And there's a difference. According to the flesh, what they're accusing him of. But yes, he was like all of us, walking in the flesh because we have a sin nature. We're physical. We're not in heaven just yet. So we see that in the words according and in the flesh. Paul said he did not war after the flesh with carnal weapons, but spiritual weapons. Now notice that word war there in verses 3 and 4. We do not war after the flesh. And we are in a battle against the kingdom of darkness. Can I get an amen there? Satan doesn't like us. His angels don't like us. His demons don't like us. The world that is trapped in bondage to sin don't like us until God quickens our heart to salvation. Then they understand. They can ride by and make fun all they want to. What are we doing on Sunday? But until they get saved, they're not going to desire to do the same things we do, right? Lost people desire to do what's lost. Lost people desire to do what tares do. And you can't dress up a pig and make it something else than what it is. They have to know the grace of God. So we're in a war. We're battling. We're fighting for the truth, Paul said. Jude says we contend for the faith. There is a battle for the truth today. That's really what's going on in the world today. There is a battle for the truth. The liberals and the progressive liberals, and I don't know, that's an oxymoron to me, how you can be a liberal and be progressive. But progressive liberals, it says a battle for the truth, right? They think we're crazy talking about Jesus and talking about the rapture and talking about being saved and talking about a tribulation. They know nothing about that. They think we are fools for Christ's sake, amen? But they just think we're something else here. So we're in the battle for truth. We're in the battle for the glory of God. And don't worry about it. They may take him out of everything. And they may suppress him, but I'm telling you, one day they're going to bow the feet to Jesus, amen? And they're going to recognize the one that they have been denying. We're in a battle for the souls of men, and we need to contend for the faith. Now, I know, in a way, God doesn't need us to take up for his word, right? He's capable of doing it at all, but he does tell us in his word to contend for the faith, right? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, those people that are problem people in your life, that's not really where your battle is, right? Your battle is those principalities and powers and against rulers of the darkness in this world that are behind them, right? Our battle is not with the politicians we have today. Our battle is with the forces of the devil that are behind them, right? And that's what he says here. He says against every spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians 6:12. So we don't fight with carnal or fleshly weapons. And what do we mean there? Well, we're talking about human methods. We don't use human methods and techniques in the kingdom of God. We use spiritual weapons. And you have two weapons. You have prayer and you have the word of God. Amen? Those are our weapons here. We don't use human ideology. And we have a lot of churches today trying to build a church by human technique and human methods and marketing their church. I want to tell you, God will build his church, amen? and we do it by the Bible. And we don't fight in courts. I know I'm going to upset some of you here. We don't fight in courts. We don't fight in Congress. We don't fight in the White House. Our weapons are not fleshly. Our weapons are not carnal. All those things of the world, they're going to perish. They're passing away. Our job is not to save the world, but to save people out of the world. Amen? So we need to know that. We're not going to save America, but we can save Americans, right? And that's what the Bible teaches us. And Satan has us on his own battlefield, thinking we can bring in the kingdom through legislation. And that is a lie straight from the pits of hell. So our weapons are the Word of God and prayer. You might want to read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 18 sometimes. So we war for the souls of men. Why? You've got to choose the right weapons. Number two, pull down strongholds. And I'm going to be very brief right here in verse 4. I'm going to pick it up and explain it a little later here. But look in the latter part of verse 4, if you will. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Lost people are what we call a stronghold. And I'll tell you what that is in just a moment here. The word stronghold means fortress. And it's interesting here at Corinth, they had what they call was an acropolis, a fortified place that the inhabitants could go to retreat from when they're attacked. And that's what Paul plays off of here, a stronghold. Fleshly weapons can't break down strongholds that unbelievers are settled in. And again, more about that in a moment, but let me go ahead and tell you what a stronghold is biblically. It's where unbelievers hide from the knowledge of God. Whatever they go to hide from the knowledge of God is their stronghold. It is their fortress. But then number three, if we're going to war after the flesh, verse 5, we need to cast down imaginations. And he says in verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted of itself against the knowledge of God. Right there you have the definition of a stronghold. And he says, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Casting down imaginations. The word is speculations, is what he's talking about here. This refers to any human demonic thought or opinion or reasoning and viewpoints. We don't go by reason, human reasoning and ideology. We go by, somebody tell me what we go by tonight. The Word of God. Amen. The Word of God. And so these speculations, boy, you can hear all kind of weird stuff on the news, can't you? You can hear all kind of stuff in the paper and read it. I mean, it's just amazing what people believe today. Why? They're in a stronghold. There are speculations, right, going on. So Paul is not referring to demons necessarily, but the ideologies. The battle is with false ideologies that men and demons propagate. Doomed souls are held captive by these false ideas of the world and the devil. And the only way to bring down that fortress is by the Word of God. It's not going to be by any fleshly weapons. What's the church doing today? They're saying, well, they invite them in, make them feel good about their sin, say, yo, you're okay, we're all okay, and brought them in, and they do some entertainment with them, and everybody's feel good and go home. But yet they haven't heard that they're sinners in need of salvation and on the way to hell without Jesus Christ. See what I'm saying? That's the message of the church. So the battle is for the minds of the people who are held captive to the lies that oppose Scripture. You know, well, I better go on before I get in trouble. But Paul himself was a captive. Before he got saved, he was a captive to Judaism that became ritualistic, a system of rules and works, righteousness. The Apostle Paul was in a stronghold on the road to Damascus there. He was doing what he thought was right. He was in his fortress. He was kept captive by works, righteousness, and ritualism that Judaism had become until he met Christ on the road to Damascus, right? The Bible tells us in Philippians 3, 4 through 6, look what Paul said about himself. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think if he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. No man could trust in his flesh more than the Apostle Paul. Because of Judaism. But he says on verse 5, circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But Paul was on the way to Damascus to get more Christians when God confronted him and captured the Apostle Paul and seized him to be an apostle to the Gentiles here. And his fortress just crumbled. Amen? And see, that's what it takes. It takes the word of God, and it takes prayer. All unbelievers have a stronghold in which they attempt to hide from the knowledge of God. Mark her down. When you run across people that think totally opposite of what we think and what the world, what the church thinks, it's because they're hiding from the knowledge of God. Romans chapter 1 says they're suppressing the truth for the lie, right? They know there's a creator. They know there's a God, but they don't want to be held accountable to him. And as a result, a lot of them go through cremation because they think they won't have to stand before God. Now, I understand there's times for cremation. I understand it. I don't think it's the preferred way to go. And I'll be honest with you, and I can prove that to you. But I'm telling you, they think they're going to escape standing for God in judgment. They're not. God's going to bring them up. And they're going to stand before him at the great white throne judgment and be cast into an eternal hell without Jesus Christ here. Now, this comes in many forms, these strongholds. Psychology, philosophy, all the religions of the world are in a stronghold. Religion is man working his way to God. Christianity is God coming to man, okay? Always remember that. The cults, they're all held in fortress. They're all held in their speculations. They're all held in their strongholds. Evolution. And praise God, there's a lot of Christian scientists, amen, who came out of evolution. You know, as we were talking at lunch at Sunday's this morning, there are some people that I believe that, well, I better not say that. I'll go on here. But we should confront these strongholds and cast them down by prayer and the word of God. Why do you witness to a lost person? What do you use? You don't use human reasoning. You don't use your own ingenuity. You use the word of God, right? Because that is the only thing. And we're going to be doing that study in a few weeks, and I encourage you to come. As I shared with you on the screen this morning, only 10% of Christians have ever shared their faith before they die. And then it's too late to share your faith, right? And so we're going to give an account for that. So we must confront their lies and their strongholds with the truth. The truth always is what we use in prayer. And I wonder if there's somebody on your heart tonight that's lost. It could be a family member, a friend. Have you actually prayed that God would break down that stronghold in their life? Have you actually prayed that Satan that has them blinded? Not that we pray against Satan. We pray that God will break down the blindness that's in their heart. Have you ever prayed there that the blinders might be taken off? And by the way, this is why I think that the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus was blinded, because it symbolized his blindness in the stronghold, see? And so we need to pray against these things, right? And we use the word of God in prayer. And then lastly, bring out the captives. This is the whole purpose in witnessing, that they may come out of their stronghold and come into the obedience of Christ. Amen? Look at it again in verse 5 and 6. He says, and bringing into captivity. Now, who is he talking here about? He's talking about lost people, okay? He says, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, taking them out of their stronghold and going the way of the world, but now bringing their thoughts into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. Understanding the gospel, understanding the word of God, understanding the culture is different from the biblical worldview, see? And this is what it takes here, to bring out the captives here. So the object of the warfare is to change the minds of the lost people. They're dead. They're spiritually dead. Their mind is held captive. It's not renewed by the word of God. And they're going to think like the world, and they're going to act like the world until the truth invades their heart and takes them out of the damning ideology that they're in. So the truth is the choice of weapon. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, amen? It still does its work, right? Okay, right? All right, right. When I say right, you say right, okay? So what does all this mean tonight? Say, Pastor, I ain't understood a word you said. Well, let me tell you what I'm saying. If the weapons that we need for the pulling down and the casting down and bringing them out is the truth and prayer, then I would say, number one, we need to pray. right? And number two, if you're going to bring the truth against their lies, you're going to need to know the truth. Amen? You're going to need to know your Bible, right? How can you give a defense for the hope that is within you, and how can you argue with anybody? By the way, not argue, you know what I mean by there. How can you counteract their lies if you don't know what the Bible says about them? And I'll be honest here, we need to quit running to our preacher on Sunday night and say, man, I got this person here, tell me what to tell them. You should know what to tell them, right? Already. And so we're in spiritual war, folks. But I'm telling you, the one that I'm talking to you about tonight, because that's in the text, is the war for souls. Okay? That's what it means tonight, folks. That's what it means. We do not fight Satan on his battlefield with his weapons. Right? All heads bowed, all eyes closed.